The epistle is from Hebrews, chapter 9. When Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then, through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law has been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.' Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. What's described here is obviously quite foreign to our experience. We don't have any contact in worship, probably hardly anywhere else either, with the blood of calves and goats. It's hard for me to imagine taking a branch, dipping it in a bowl of blood, and then sprinkling it on the altar and on the service books and on the pews and on all of you. We don't do anything like that. It's not something we understand. The Hebrew Christians to whom our text was written, though, understood it all very well. Through Moses, the Lord had provided very clearly the foundational rationale for such practices. The life of every creature is its blood. Its blood is its life. But I guess that's starting in the middle. We really need to go back to the very beginning, to the Garden of Eden. God had warned Adam and Eve that disobedience to his command would result in death. To sin was to forfeit one's life. That should strike each of us as a stark and terrifying message, for neither you nor I are holy without sin. Yet that wasn't God's only word. In mercy, he also made a provision for a substitutionary death. The life of the flesh is in the blood, he said, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. God accepted the blood, the life of an animal offered to him as a sacrifice in place of the life of the sinner. Thus, the words of our text, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Under the old covenant, God provided for purification from ritual uncleanness through the provision of various sacrifices. The lifeblood of the sacrifice would provide an external ceremonial cleansing. That's no small thing. But that was all it did. As the author of Hebrews just before our text writes, sacrifices offered under the old covenant cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper. The blood of calves and goats didn't render the heart of the sinner clean. The evil conscience, a sort of stain on the heart, still remained. This reveals the temporary nature of sacrifices under the old covenant. They didn't provide the full, final, and permanent solution for sin. Only in the new covenant is there a blood, a life, a sacrifice able to purify our conscience, able to create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. When, as God's high priest, Jesus offered himself as the perfect sacrifice, he, finally, was the all-sufficient substitute for sinners. The sacrifices of calves and goats had only been temporary. As the author of Hebrews notes following this evening's text, the mere fact that they had to be offered repeatedly shows that they were not sufficient. Jesus' sacrifice, however, is once for all. As St. Paul writes, God put forward Christ, Jesus, as a propitiation by his blood, that is, as an atoning sacrifice by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The animal sacrifices repeated through the centuries were part of God's forbearance. Though they were not in themselves sufficient, the Lord accepted them until the final sacrifice was offered, one which would be fully sufficient and offer complete atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But Jesus tells us that as we receive the Holy Supper, he is providing forgiveness to us. In particular, as we drink the cup, we receive his blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. In the supper, the Lord Jesus comes to you personally. He gives himself to you. He provides you with a new covenant in his blood, which cleanses you inside and out, bringing you forgiveness and new life. As he gives you his body and blood along with the bread and wine, you hear together with other believers, but also personally and individually, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. This is for you, for the forgiveness of your sins." In the Holy Supper, Jesus is saying, "I'm here for you, to take away your sins, to give you life." Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But on the altar of the cross, Jesus shed his blood as the once-for-all offering for you and for me and for every sinner ever. And now, together with the bread and wine, he comes to you in his true body and blood to unite you to himself. In the meal that he instituted the night before he died, he takes you into communion with him, into fellowship with him. He joins you to himself so that his holiness and obedience cover you. Take, eat. This is my body. Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. With these words, Jesus explains the blessings he would win for you as he suffered and died on the cross. He shared it first with his disciples in advance of his death, and since then, generation after generation of believers have received it as the fruit of his sacrifice. The hymn of the day that we sang just a few minutes ago captures well the gracious gift our Savior prepared and now provides us in his Holy Supper. "Thou with thy body and thy blood did nourish our weak souls that they may flourish. Thy holy body into death was given, life to win for us in heaven. No greater love than this to thee could bind us. All our debt has been paid. Peace with God once more is made." Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But there has been a shedding of blood. Jesus shed his blood for you. And again this evening, graciously gives you his blood of the covenant for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive it faithfully in confident trust and with thanksgiving until he shares it with you in his heavenly kingdom. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.